session. Once again, this welcome to your favorite therapy session, Packers in Law. I'm Andy, the Packer noob.
And I'm Jake, the Packer veteran.
Sorry, I started off so jumpy there, audience and Jake, but I just wanted to, you know, replicate my favorite NFL football team.
Yes.
We're also going to finish poorly and miss an extra point.
Really, what you should have done is you should have started slow, like talked real slow in the beginning, and you're not sure if you can get it together, because that seems to be a trend as well. So
it's true. Although I did, start real quick and then stop, like the three and outs that we've become accustomed to at the beginning of games.
Yeah, so folks, obviously, another depressing game in Packer Nation yesterday in the nation's capital. Packers losing to the Redskins 42-24. Fourth straight loss for the Green and Gold. Fourth game that we have allowed over 30 points from our defense. And
wait. Since it was in Washington, I have a good political joke I just thought of. Ready?
I'm ready. Hit me.
Just like Hillary Clinton, Sunday evening the Packers won the popular vote in the stadium, but lost where it mattered, in the game.
Nice. Nice burn.
Good? I just thought of that.
That's very impressive for on the spot.
I know.
Now the
behind
people
the
who
scenes,
were
we've been talking before this for like 20 minutes, and I had not thought of this joke, and just like inspiration right there. I just want people to be impressed.
I feel like we just lost all the Hillary supporters, so for what it's worth,
I am putting Hillary with my favorite NFL football team. I feel like that was positive for her. Or at least I'm burning things that I know, love. I don't know. We don't have to talk about where we voted. But.
All right, that's fine. But still, it was a apt comparison. talking about the Redskins game, or I guess the Washington Football Club, for those of you who find that objectionable. It kind of is similar to last week. You know, Packers start out slow, three and outs on offense for the first three drives. That's the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career that the Packers have started a game like that.
He sucks. Sit him. Let's try this Hundley kid. Just kidding, of course.
Well, there's a lot of voicing of that opinion on social media. So you're...
Yeah, I just wanted to embody Twitter there for a second.
That was an apt embodiment of Twitter right there.
By the way, follow us at Packers in Law.
Right, yes. So Packers started out slow. The defense looked like it was going to rebound. You know, they stopped the first two drives that Washington had. But, again, they fell victim to the big play. They gave up their 10th there was an article by Rob Demoski. He said they've given up 11, I think, passing plays of over 15 yards in the air this season, whereas last year they only allowed 6 such plays the entire year. And again, you know, the defense gave up so many big plays. There were, again, missed opportunities that the Packers, you know, that could have changed the whole game. Particularly, I think the biggest, Andy, in this game, missed opportunities occurred on two third downs that Washington had, where the Packers were successful in stopping them and then committed really just dumb penalties that gave Washington a first down and continued on drives that led to points. There was the Mike Daniels roughing the passer call. That drive led to a field goal to start the second half, which that would have been if he doesn't commit that penalty, the Packers would have stopped them three and out to start the second half. And, you know, who knows what happens from there. Then there was the other play. It was later in the half. Blake Martinez hit Jameson Crowder on a crossing route where I don't think Crowder would have caught it regardless, but he hit him a little bit before the ball got there. Refs threw the flag. Drive continued. They got points out of that drive as well. Things that if the Packers were sharper, you know, and they don't do those things, the game could be totally different, but it didn't go their way. You know, they had the penalties, they had the big plays.
And on that score, just to underscore this, the Redskins scored 6 touchdowns. I want to make sure I got that right. 4 of them were from direct results of plays that were more than 10 yards. And one of them, of course, was that the second to last touchdown that was set up by a huge play, but there's that tackle at the 1 yard line.
Oh, right. Rob Kelly with the 65 yard run. Yes.
Which resulted in injury. Overall, The secondary was completely broken by Kirk Cousins and the Washington football team.
Receivers. Yeah, just a side note, I had Rob Kelly on my bench in one of my fantasy leagues this week. I started James Starks, who for the longest time was actually beating him in points. He finished with 13, which is, you know, not too bad. However, Rob Kelly scored 31 points. And
that's two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that really vaulted him into the lead. Anyway, that's about my fantasy woes. The big play was there all night for the Redskins. You know, they kept getting favorable mashups. When I was live tweeting, I noted it when DeSean Jackson got his touchdown, you know, he was matched up against Micah Hyde, and he just basically outquicked him into the end zone. And, you know, Micah Hyde could do nothing about it. So it also seemed like I was watching the game with my dad because I am back home in Minnesota at the moment. It didn't seem like Capers called all that great of a defensive game. Like, we kept blitzing safeties to try to get pressure on Kirk Cousins, and when we did that, they just threw it deep with, you know, if it was one-on-one coverage, because our cornerbacks that we have were good enough to stay with their receivers, and that just led to big play after big play after big play.
So the Packers found a new way to lose on their defense, which was kind of the bedrock of keeping us in the season early on.
Yeah,
all of a sudden is really fallen. I mean, lots of injuries, but I would say the defense lost this game. Offense wasn't great, but if we're going to pin complete blame, I think defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say I don't think the offense did quite enough for us to win. They definitely picked – again, they started out slow. You know, again, if they start faster, like if we go down the field and score a touchdown to open the game, again, you know, you pretty much have to, you know – consider it a whole new ball game, because that changes everything. Maybe the defense is more confident. Maybe they, you know, you just don't know. But it's really now to the point, Andy, where you just really wonder, you know, with all the injuries that they've sustained again in this game. I mean, we had more injuries. Dimitri Goodson, which, by the way, I know they didn't show it on TV, and there was a reason for that. He suffered.
I saw it on Twitter. Did you see the coverage?
Yes, horrific knee injury.
It is awful.
I will be.
It's
shocked
worse than the Theismann video.
Oh yeah, it's definitely on that level. I will be very surprised if he plays again this year or even early next season. For those of you who don't want to watch, his knee basically went sideways. As it got rolled up under another player on the punt cover. So
here, hold on. I'm gonna try to describe this so people don't have to watch this video. So if you've seen the Joe Theismann leg injury, where his leg just kind of like looks like snaps, which of course it does, it's like that, except imagine after the snapping, if someone whipped him around and the leg just kind of like flails a second. Oh, it's terrible.
It's real bad. It's real bad. If you have a weak stomach, I wouldn't recommend watching it. He was out, which further, you know, depleted our already depleted secondary. Blake Martinez went down holding his left knee. I haven't heard an update on him, but it didn't look good, at least from the initial reaction of the players. And
the amount of injuries is just staggering.
Right.
On both sides of the ball.
Right. And then, on offense, too. We lost another lineman. We're already missing, starting right guard TJ Lang was out of this game. So his replacement, Don Barkley, suffered a shoulder injury. So he was replaced by normal tackle Jason Spriggs, who's a rookie. Second round pick out of Indiana. So he played the entire second half at right guard for us.
Who actually, ironically, I think did better in that spot than Barkley was.
That's,
Barkley
yeah.
Barkley was getting toyed. Well, and the commentators pointed this out.
Yeah, they said that, and I totally agreed that, you know, people were saying that, you know, Barkley was out because of the injury, but someone was saying, well, the way Barkley played in that game, it could have very well, you know, regardless of the injury, it could have just been based on his poor performance that they replaced him. He had a couple of bad penalties. A couple of times he, you know, let pressure get right in Rodgers' face. You know, gave a couple sacks. It wasn't a great game for Mr. John Barkley, who, his credit, has been a very versatile offensive lineman. He's been able to plug in where we need him. He's definitely valuable to the team, but it was just not his day yesterday.
So let's get into some of the specifics of this game. I thought it'd be helpful to talk about this swirling wind that happened. I mean, it was an awful wind. They showed lots of videos about it, and you could tell that they talk a lot about wind in games, but you could tell this was really affecting the game based on kind of the perfect cadence of whatever quarter it was. That team that was going with the wind had an obvious advantage. So in the first quarter, the Redskins are going with the win. They score a touchdown. Cousins looks good, and Aaron Rodgers and the Packer offense flounders. But then in the second quarter, that flips. All of a sudden, the Packer offense sort of ignites and gets much better. With that first touchdown, that Jordy Nelson catch, let's stop a moment. Catch or not, Jake?
Well, if you saw my live tweets, I keep watching that play, and I still don't know how that's a catch. It's one of those things, because this is something my dad brought up when we were watching the game, is that, you know, it's one of those special things about the end zone, is that if that play were to happen in the regular field of play, I mean, obviously Jordy wouldn't be standing still because, you know, he'd be trying to run forward or, you know, fall down right, or whatever. But, you know, if it happened exactly like it happened in the end zone, but in, like, the middle of the field, do you think the refs would call that incomplete or a fumble? I'm thinking they call it incomplete if it's in the field of play.
Absolutely.
But it's one of those special things in the, again, with the end zone where, you know, he has possession for, I guess long enough. I really thought they were going to overturn that, but you know,
thing in my mind that might make it a catch is when I think of a running back diving into the end zone. And once they cross the plane, even if they fumble it or if it goes crazy, it's still a touchdown. It's sort of applicable with a catch, but my gut was that it wasn't a catch.
Oh yeah. It's absolutely. You're right. That rule is still applicable. I mean, it's the same thing, but like, my dad and I were talking, you know, there have been plays where a running back like catches a pass and kind of falls down in the process, you know, near the goal line, stretches the ball out over the goal line, and then like the ball gets knocked out of his hands. And then they go back and review it, and they say that, oh, he crossed the plane, he had possession, it's a touchdown. Whereas if that was a field of play, it's probably incomplete or a fumble. But yeah, I'm with you. My gut said it wasn't a catch. I thought it was going to go overturned. The refs, I guess they didn't have, you know, clear evidence to overturn it. I mean, really, if they had called it incomplete, that it definitely would have stayed incomplete. But again, like I said in my tweet, I am not complaining. We'll take the touchdown. We tied up the game at that point. But yeah, so I didn't think it was a catch to, you know, wrap that up. So
yeah, I would agree there. I feel like Calvin Johnson was watching that game somewhere and saying, seriously, that's a catch. But when yep. I just put yeah, the ball on the ground, it's not a catch.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, he definitely had some conflicting emotions about that. So
moving on in the game, we don't have to go specifically through the second half, mainly because I don't want to. We've kind of summarized it already. The secondary stunk it up. Even first teamers, we talked about Hyde getting burned on a few of these plays. But generally, big plays all over the place, both the running and the passing offense for the Redskins torched us at different times. Quickly went downhill.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the run defense, they definitely played better than the passing defense. I mean, that's not really you know, an arguable point. But again, it was kind of like the Titans game last week, where, you know, the Titans had the big touchdown run, the first play from scrimmage for them, and then really after that, the defense kind of bottled up Murray, and it was really the same thing. I mean, Rob Kelly was having an okay game, and then he had that, you know, 60-70 yard run. That really made his stats look nice. But, I mean, he did have the three rushing touchdowns. But you
and by the way, the first running play of this game was a huge run by Kelly. That's, I think, like, 16 – it was 16 yards, but a great tackle. And I was like, here we go again.
That was – yeah, I did forget about that play. You're right. That is true. But really, besides those two plays, he didn't have a spectacular game. But, again, those still count, obviously. So, they did give up a ton of yards.
Yeah, performance of the defense – here we go. I'll sum it up with some Washington Redskin stats. Kirk Cousins, 375 yards, 3 touchdowns. Kelly, running the ball on 24 attempts, 137 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon, over 100 yards and a touchdown. Crowder, over 100 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Reed, 79 yards. DeSean Jackson, 51 yards and a touchdown. We got torched.
Right. And if you look at specifically Kirk Cousins' stats, that was only on 21 pass attempts.
30 pass attempts, 21 completions.
Oh, right. Sorry. 30 yeah. pass attempts, 21 completions. For example, Jamison Crowder had over 100 yards receiving. The dude only caught 3 passes. So, yeah, again, it was big plays all over the place. It really, you know, and Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast, NBC broadcast last night, actually had a good term for this. It's like for the Packers, really, the cupboard is bare. I mean, we are playing our 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th string guys in the defense now. And, you know, with the lack of pressure we were getting on Kirk Cousins, we did have a couple sacks in the game. But with the lack of pressure, you know, those guys just couldn't hang with the, you know, the first string wide receivers of the Redskins, and it was just, it was a mismatch really from the beginning.
Yeah, which would, to be fair to the Packers organization, I mean, any third tier defensive back core is going to have trouble dealing with that. Really, any wide receiver core in the NFL.
Really, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. I don't think they just, you know, and, you know, some people are saying that Ted Thompson's to blame because he didn't, you know, get good enough players, and it's like, well, I can't think of many teams who have had to play, you know, third and fourth and fifth string guys this much in the season. I mean, the Colts, the team we played 2-3 weeks ago, they had a ton of defensive injuries in their secondary. They actually had to re-sign some guys that they cut in training camp because it was so bad for them. But they're all healthy now. So, and actually, excuse me, after watching that game, I was talking to my dad.
You can get choked up, Jake. Just let it out.
Just a little bit of, you know, indigestion from dinner. I was talking to my dad about, you know, who we would potentially bring off the injured reserve. And if my dad was like, if Shields can play, we have to bring back Shields. We have to.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there was a debate when Lacy went on IR of who we were bringing back, Lacy or Shields. I think Starks is good enough. And who knows when we get Kristen Michael, who
I'm
excited about that too. The guy's
a power runner.
He's a power runner. He's young. He clearly has lots of ability. I mean, he was their starting running back until 2 weeks ago, and he looked pretty good. So,
and he has by himself three times more touchdowns this season than the entire Packers running back core.
Right. Well, the fact is that Aaron Rodgers is still the only Packer who's run through a touchdown this season. So,
which is two, right? And I think Michael has six.
He has three. Yes.
Okay. So, Michael has twice as many.
Right, but no actual Packers running back, designated running back, has a touchdown yet. So Lacy doesn't, Starks doesn't, Montgomery doesn't, just Aaron Rodgers. I think going forward, Andy, we have to really just, you know, I mean, we can. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna be watching the Packers. They're my team.
The season being over, it's not over yet.
The injuries have just ravaged this team, and
stranger things have happened.
I thought the Packers were out of the playoffs in 2010 when Aaron Rodgers went down with a concussion,
they
ended up winning
the Super Bowl.
We're only two games behind still,
and the Packers were 5-6
at one point. We ended up making the playoffs.
The Vikings and the Lions. We played them again this season. So
based on my past experience,
I don't want to say it's over, but.
Just because,
you know, it's like I said, it's not look good. Not,
it doesn't look good, and maybe we shouldn't be.
It's,
you know, I don't think we should be expecting
good,
the Packers,
I know, it hasn't
to
look good the last 3 weeks before
win the division or make the playoffs, just based on the injuries.
We're lucky that Minnesota has really cooled off from their hot start. We're lucky that Detroit floundered a little bit in the early season because they look real good now. Our division is pretty soft this year, which really helps the Packers. But like you said, with the injuries, that's the hard part. This isn't like just that this team isn't playing better. I think after these last three games, we can say with certainty that the injuries are really killing this team, and that's something that's not going to turn around. Like you said, maybe we'll get Shields back, but I'm not sure how much he by himself can do to improve.
Right. I mean, I think he would definitely help, but I mean, it's not like we're going to put him back on the team, and, you know, he's magically we're going to turn into a top ten defense. So, yeah. I mean, I think again, we really just have to, you know, hope that they can, you know, they have to play with the guys that they have. And unfortunately, it's not very many guys right now. So, I mean, they're depleted in the secondary. They're depleted at the linebacking core. They're getting depleted on the offensive line. It's been even worse than, you know, 2010 or 2011 or 2012 when we had a ton of injuries. It's been worse than that. And that's just, you know, that's just kind of the nature of how the season's gone. So,
speaking of injuries, and maybe to end on a positive note here, Cook returns in this game and looked really good.
Right. I did tweet this. I said, win or lose, I love what Cook brings to the offense. We hit two of our, I think really two of the biggest passing plays we had in this game were both to him. One where he got matched up against the safety, Dante Whitner, and he didn't even, you know, he just juked past him and was, you know, ran past him like he wasn't even there. Made a couple of great catches, made a touchdown catch, could have had a second touchdown catch, but wasn't looking back for the ball when Rodgers threw it to him.
Yeah, that was a sad play.
That was a little sad. And then, of course, ended his night with that fumble, which really killed any chance we had of climbing back into it. But
the Packer season in whole, our best player looking good, a bit of optimism, fumbles to seal the game.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that was obviously not great. But, again, I mean, that's basically what we've been wanting to see from him ever since we – that's what, you know, Packer fans have been dreaming about seeing from him since we signed him this offseason. So if he can continue to bring that element to our offense, I'm excited about seeing that, you know, progress and develop over the next couple of games, and maybe give us more of a chance to get some big plays going on offense. So, yeah, again, you know, I don't know what grade to give the Packers other than an F. It's just, that's just how it goes sometimes. You know, and it's been going on that for a long time. But each week is new. As much as we might not, you know, think it is a new week. So we'll see if they can turn the ship around here next week.
Yeah, let's move on from this game.
You're
this
right.
Is just,
let's just
NFC North watch.
Rearview mirror. Yes. So we have the Vikings who, after losing four games of their own in a row, got back on the winning side of the pine this week with a victory at home over the Cardinals. They're now 6-4 and will play Detroit in the first of the three Thanksgiving games. That game starts at, I think, 11 Central Time. That's in Detroit, obviously, as it always is. Lions also won, beating Jacksonville 26-19. They're also 6-4. So this game on Thanksgiving now, and as I was saying to Andy before the podcast, usually the first game against Detroit's kind of a snoozer because usually the Lions aren't that good. This game will now decide who basically will control their destiny in the NFC North, which unfortunately does not include our beloved Packers, which is, you know, sad, obviously. But so it'll actually have a game with a lot of stakes to it. And then, of course, we have to...
It should be a good game, too, not just stakes. I mean, but at different points in the year, both these teams have looked very, very good. Most recently, Detroit, but early on in the season, Minnesota as well, so...
Right, well, and then when they...
It'll be entertaining.
Right, absolutely. And then when they played last time, that game was a thriller with the Lions coming back to tie the game and then winning in overtime. It was that game was great, and I wouldn't expect this game to be any different based on what we've seen so far from both these teams.
Just for fun, who you got? I got Detroit on Thanksgiving. I think they pull this out at home.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think they have all the motivation. You know, this, like I said, for the first time in a while, this game actually means something in the larger scale of the playoffs. So, and again, like I said, whoever wins this game basically controls their own destiny, which is huge. So I got Detroit in this game as well.
And they have Matt Stafford, which means a lot this season. and then Cellar Dwellers, Chicago Bears.
Right. Bears lost 22-6. They were actually up against the Giants early, but lost 22-16. They play the Titans next week. They're the Bears, so not much else to say about that.
And then let's get to next week for the Packers. If they can turn it around, they play another NFC East team, Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. So the Eagles are 5-5. They're actually currently in... I think they're in last place in their division right now.
The East is strong this year,
right?
As we just learned with the Redskins. But.
So yeah, the Cowboys have the best record in the NFL right now at 9-1. The Giants, I think, are in second at 7-3, and then the Redskins are 6-3-1. So yeah, actually at 5-5, the Eagles are in last place. But the NFC East is definitely the best division in the NFC. I think probably the AFC West is the best division in football. Excuse me. But so the Eagles, we play them on Monday night in Philadelphia. It's the last game on our three-game road trip, which, again, we thought would
have gone great. Real good.
Has gone very well. But so the Eagles, just to give you some basics, you know, some stats about them. They're 19th overall in offense, 25th in passing, 7th in rushing, 13th in points scored per game. Defensively, they're actually pretty good. 8th overall defensively, 9th against the pass, 19th against the rush, 4th in points allowed. So they don't give up a lot of points, and they're pretty good against the pass. So my thought is we're really going to need Chris and Michael to be effective in this game if we're going to have any chance. Or, you know, maybe if Starks can have a breakout game as well. But, you know, Eagles starting rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz. Having a decent season, he's actually the 19th overall passer in the league right now. 11 touchdowns, 7 picks. You know, he's had some rookie struggles. Looked really good early. First three games kind of came back to earth a little bit. But, I mean,
he's no Dak Prescott.
He's no Dak Prescott, who's really, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, I mean, he's having a great season, which is fine. But he's really going to skew the view of rookie quarterbacks for a lot of guys next year when they're like, well, how come you can't do what Dak Prescott's doing? Keep in mind, Dak Prescott is working behind the best offensive line in the league and a very good rookie running back in Ezekiel Elliott. So just remember that. But Carson Wentz has looked very good. You know, clearly he has the tools to be the future, and he, you know, is the present in Philadelphia. So he's been playing well.
Wow, that was poetic. That was really nice.
Oh, thank you. But as far as receiving threats go, the number one receiving threat is Jordan Matthews. He's 27th overall in receiving.
My fantasy team. That's why I'm whooping. and unfortunately, as a Packer fan, I have to say I will probably be starting him because based on this Washington game, it looks like he's going to have a good game.
Right. You know, that's, I mean, obviously we need to slow him down by whatever means we can. But again, based on the injuries and the way that we've played recently, I just don't know if we have the players to do it. The one thing that might benefit us is that, again, their rushing offense, which is 7th in the league, is much better than their passing offense. But actually, both of their two top running backs are both hurt. I can't think of the first guy's name. Ryan Matthews. Apologize for that. Ryan Matthews, who they got from San Diego.
Ryan Matthews and family. We apologize. We know you listen. Thank you for your fandom.
He has a knee injury, and he's day-to-day. And then also backup Darren Sproles. I guess they said he'll be limited in practice this week, but they expect him to play against the Packers. He has a rib injury that he sustained in the game on Sunday against the Seahawks. Matthews was apparently wearing the knee brace. So their third back, with those two guys out of the game, had to leave the game against Seattle. Third back Wendell Smallwood took the most of the snaps after that on Sunday. So it sounds like it could be, you know, Sproles taking the main load and then Smallwood also contributing again with the Matthews currently unknown at this point, his availability for the game. So that might help us out a little bit. And again, you know, if there's one part of your defense that has been pretty good most of the time, it's been the run defense. So we'll have to hope that they can rebound and, you know, stop some maybe not 100% healthy running backs on Monday night.
Yeah, when I look at this game, I think the blueprint for the Packers, force Carson Wentz to make mistakes. He has thrown 7 interceptions this season. He's prone to them. You've got to get some form of pressure on him. Hopefully Matthews will be back up to his usual self. You could tell he was a little rusty yesterday.
Yep.
On the defensive side, I think that's what I see is what we need to do offensively. I think we need to get back to some of those shorter sort of West Coast offense passes. It seemed like there was never a rhythm in this game against Washington at points.
Nope.
But overall, that just wasn't working. There was a lot of scrambling for Aaron, which looks really good at times in certain plays, but it's just not sustainable, again, as we saw last night. I think that is the recipe for success next Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. Hopefully we'll be able to see some of Kristen Michael in a Packers uniform in this game, and maybe he'll be able to provide us with a jolt, which will be nice if we could, you know, if we could get the Eagles to respect the run game, which really nobody's had to do that the last 3 weeks. You know, that might open up the passing game more. You know, it's gotten to the point now, whenever Aaron Rodgers drops back and he looks around for more, you know, and he doesn't throw within the first 2 seconds, I start getting anxious. I'm like, he's not going to find anybody open. And most of the time he doesn't, and he ends up throwing it away or getting sacked or scrambling.
I think Chris Collinsworth said at one point, it seems the Packers strategy is just see if you can tackle number 12.
Yep.
Didn't he say – he had an exact quote like that, I'm pretty sure.
He did say that, yeah. It seemed like, you know, we might as well start calling, you know, planned scrambles for Aaron Rodgers, because that seemed to be the best – you know, some of the best plays our offense had apart from Jared Cook's contributions. But I'll be sure to see what they do with Jared Cook. I mean, the Packers have tried to make tight ends the focal point of their offense before, and I think with the injuries and the way that the receivers still aren't getting open, they might – I feel like they might have a big game plan for Cook in this game. So yeah.
The outworking of that sad JerMichael Finley injury.
Yep.
Let's not talk about that. But I mean, since that point, we've really been struggling at that position.
Right. They kind of haven't found a replacement for him. But looks like Cook could be the answer. So I would expect him to have a big role in this game, especially since what he showed after really not playing since week 3 against Detroit. I would expect for him to have a significant game plan for him this week.
So who do you have in this game?
Well, you know, I like Mark Mahoney said, the Packers are up against it now. You know, he says 10-6 is the key getting to the playoffs. We already have our 6 losses, so winning out would be the way to go if we still want to get in. But I'm going to say that the Packers find something deep down inside them and motivate themselves to win this game. I'm going to say that the Packers win 24-20.
I applaud you, sir. I mean, the optimism there, I see a lot of value there. But I think they're going to lose. I don't want to tear down your thoughts at all. I think they're going to lose. Again, the blueprint I just presented, I think, is one that we can't achieve right now just because of those injuries.
That's fair.
I think the offensive line is going to really struggle against a good Philadelphia defense, a very good kind of bend, not break kind of defense. I think defensively, our secondary is just not strong enough to deal with this very good receiving core. And as much as Wentz, we can talk about him being a rookie, he's been pretty good. You know, he's not, again, Prescott, but I think he's good enough to hit a very depleted secondary. I just don't see a way to win. I'm actually going to flip your script. Eagles win 24-14.
Okay. Yeah, well, no, all your points are valid. I really feel like, you know, the bleeding has...
I hope I'm wrong, as I've been saying, I think, for 3 weeks now. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm just going to say, you know, certainly predicting a loss makes way more sense at this point. I'm just going to say the bleeding has to stop somewhere. You know, maybe they can get a surprise win here. I'm sure they're not favored at all in this game, based on a number of factors like injuries and the fact that they're on the road. But I'm going to be helpful. I'm going to be helpful. So,
hope is good, especially around Thanksgiving. Hopefully, we'll be giving thanks for an amazing turnaround year come January. But we'll see.
We hope so. Right. So yeah, that's pretty much going to do it for us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at PackersInLaw. Live tweeting, and I post news updates throughout the week, or Andy tells you to watch Justin Bieber on the American Music Awards.
It was great, man.
Again, we also have our Packers in Law email address, packersinlaw@gmail.com, if you want to email us questions. Our Facebook page is also available if you want to try to post questions to us. Really, you know, any way you want to send it to us. If you want to send us to by carrier pigeon,
owls,
you know, anything you can think of. Telepathic messages, go for it. But yeah, and of course, as always, you know, follow us and rate us on iTunes. That helps us a lot. That would be fantastic. Anything else you want to add?
That's a good family activity around Thanksgiving. Like, yeah. What are we thankful for? You know, there's just new Packer podcast that I just love. And you know what? Let's just sit here and every single member of the family just give a review of this show. I'm going to do that around the Thanksgiving table. I think you should too.
That does sound like an excellent family activity on Thanksgiving. I approve.
Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe. Probably lots of you are listening to us while driving to your family. Have a great weekend. Let's hope the Packers do better than I think and as good as Jake thinks. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys, and we'll see you next week.